the gates of paradise are opened, and all the devils are bound up or round up.
Yes.
With this, we also know that Shaitan is enchained and we are free from his whispers, and therefore we can train ourselves in this month and attain the most from it.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is again a kind of preparation, isn't it?
Yeah, it's again a kind of preparation. Okay. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so people are fasting in this month. You know, it is a month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to take more care of your behavior, you know. Even the most trivial points have to be observed in your life. But did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, in the Holy Quran or Prophets and the Ahlul Bayt in Ahadith, enumerated some specific reasons that why this month is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it only for fasting? Or no, there might be some other reasons.
Why Allah would love this month is because He is the host of this month.
Uh-huh.
And this month is beautiful. A feast. So we are feasting from whatever our host gives us. And we become His guest in this month.
Okay.
The same way that we become His guest when we go for Hajj.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is location-based
yes.
hosting. And this is time-based hosting.
Okay.
Where there we go to a specific location and we are His guest. This one, we are His guest wherever we are, but on time-based.
Mm-hmm.
We fast. If our fasting is ibadah, our iftar is ibadah.
Yes.
Our breath is ibadah. Mm-hmm. Our waking up is ibadah. Our snoring is ibadah.
Okay.
Everything. And that's why one of the questions is like, what days mm-hmm. and nights? The days and nights of fasting, all of them are ibadah. There is not a second that whatever okay. you do is out of that valuation of ibadah.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do in the whole day, it's an ibadah. Whatever you do in the whole night, it's ibadah. And that is only valuable to this holy month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from this, sleeping becomes makruh in the mosque.
Okay.
It's not ibadah. Sleeping, if you have not timed yourself properly, it becomes makruh to oversleep.
Okay.
You see, for example, we say like sleeping after the namaz fajr.
Yes.
It becomes makruh.
Yes.
You see?
It is not recommended to do so. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Breathing, it's mubah. Yes. Breathing, unless if it is done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Drinking water, it's mubah, unless, again, if it's done for the sake of Allah. But in the month of Ramadan, even every breath of mine...
Just a blow of...
Yeah, okay. Just a blow of air. Something that I unconsciously do is an ibadah.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we need to understand that there might be some questions that people would be asking that I say that shaitans are enchained.
Yes.
Now, because there is no whispers, then how come I commit sin?
Mm-hmm.
This one, it's not a tricky question. It's just you need to understand that when you have stayed at someone's place for 11 months,
okay.
and when you leave that place to someone else, you remember their words and whispers.
Yes. So the traces are over there.
Yeah.
In your soul.
In your soul. They are already implanted.
Darkest spots are over there. Yes.
So even if right now you don't have Shaitan to come and whisper
okay.
to you,
mm-hmm.
but you have his essence in you. And that's why they say the holy month of Ramadan is a very good month to mm-hmm. train yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because now even if you, for example, leave yourself from those whispers, normally every time you break your chains of Shaitan, Shaitan comes again, whispers again, he gives you the chain back. But in the month of Ramadan, if you're able to escape his chain,
mm-hmm.
there is no whisper to bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to make a benefit of it and work your way through.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. On IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
And is there any difference between the days and nights of the holy month of Ramadan? We know we got the night of Qadr during the holy month of Ramadan as a special night. You know, are there any specific recommendations for days and nights of the holy month of Ramadan or not?
Specific recommendations. There are a lot of recommendations in different books. For example, the books of Mafatihul Jinan.
Yes.
The Ibadah. There's a list of there's a big list of things that you could do, but in a general idea is that on the nights of Maha Ramadan, one of them is to pray Salatul Layl. It's a very recommended prayer to pray, and on a personal experience, I have experienced this. I have seen the experience on the nights of Itikaf, when we are doing it. Normally, we don't have this essence of praying Salatul Layl, as we call it.
Yes.
But when we start praying it, it affects our daily life.
Okay.
We try to see things differently.
Okay.
We just don't pray it. So I remember in my teenage time, when I was a teenager, and I used to go itikaf every year. So this was one of the years, the beginning year. And this was introduced to us, Namaz-e-Shab.
Yes.
The Salatul Layl.
Salatul Layl.
And we would pray. We would pray for 3 nights. Okay. And then after that, itikaf would be over.
Yes.
And I remember that after itikaf was over, I was able to maintain it for a longer period of time, let's say around 3 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was back to the material world after itikaf, you could see the differences that would affect you in not praying the Salatul Layl. So that time, I didn't have proper tools. I got the proper tools in itikaf, and I used it, alhamdulillah, but I wasn't able to maintain it in my teenage time. But right now, like when we are learning and we are learning more, we see that the effects are much higher. So Salatul Layl is one of the good prayers to pray. I have seen many people praying Salatul Qadha during these nights of Ramadan, specifically from Tanzania, where I'm from.
Yes.
They usually, every day in the holy month of Ramadan, every day they would pray one day prayer, one whole cycle of daily prayer. And when it comes to Shabhai Laylatul Qadr, the Laylatul Qadr nights, they would pray 6 night prayers, like 100 rakats.
Okay.
So one of the prayers that is recommended is praying the 100 unit prayer. Some have used this 100 unit prayer to pray the whole cycle of a day. Maybe 6 days, it turns out to be 100. While others have used the 2 rakats prayer to make it reach 100, and it has its own ways of recitations and stuff.
But for sure, our lifestyle must differ. You know, it's not only just, for example, waking up in the early morning, filling the stomach with suhoor, you know. Unfortunately, when you go to the, for example, Ramadan lifestyle in some of the countries, Muslim lands, countries, the first thing that is seen in the videos and the footages, you know, is only, as I said, colorful tables, you know, good restaurants. And usually Ramadan is introduced through food to the world, okay?
Yeah.
So just for example, on YouTube, you just go and check Ramadan, okay?
And you see iftar.
The more thing food that comes, is food over there rather than not food, okay?
Yeah.
So, and for some strangers, I mean foreigners, the Westerners, the non-Muslims who are not familiar to the holy month of Ramadan, they might see that, okay, Ramadan is really a nice feast. Even in some of the footages I saw, for example, it was in one of these Arab countries, you know, it was a Ramadan feast, and the country, non-Muslims, family were invited over there, you know, and they were happy with how much beautiful is the color of the food over here, okay? How delicious is that, that these foods are served in the holy month of Ramadan. So this is not Ramadan. I mean, Ramadan is just being away from this. This is a feast of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but feast not in terms of just eating and drinking at the suhoor and the iftar time, okay?
Yeah.
But just taking care of the poor, you know? How much money is spent on giving luxurious iftar to the people all around the world? This money can be spent on giving charity to the poor instead, isn't it?
So it's what you'll say, that there are a lot of people that do this kind of feasts and stuff. They are of two groups.
Yes.
One group is that they say that now it's my time to take a revenge and like have everything that I lost in a whole day.
Okay.
You see? So I stay in hunger for 12 hours, so I need to have my breakfast, lunch, dinner right now.
Yeah.
You see? It's that kind of psychology.
Wow.
The acceptance of Ramadan of this kind of person is accepted anyway.
Yes.
He has taken it as a... as a literal meaning
the
of
fasting, the fasting is superficial is understood. Okay, that's right. Okay.
The second is there are people that do not want to feast on the foods that are there.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that we have this kind of understanding that if I don't keep this food for the guest or for myself, my respect between them will go down. Mm-hmm. You see, and therefore, like they try to. Put a feast on the table.
No, it's good. It's good. No. It's good to give iftar to the people. It has very rewards.
That
okay?
in itself.
But going to extremes, you know, and of introducing Ramadan as the feast of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know.
No, so this is for sure. This is what I'm saying, that a lot of, a few of the people that are there, they would keep a different kind of food, even if they won't eat it. It's to show that we have like the best iftar. And, you know? For example, if you are in a community and we have invitations for iftar, so everyone that comes to your house then tries to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is the best, has the best of iftar. This guy has the worst of iftar.
Yes.
So that kind of psychology usually to refrain themselves to be attacked with that kind of judgment, they try to portray this kind of foods.
All right. Thank you very much, Brother Suhail. For a nice elaboration regarding this topic, why Ramadan is the best month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Islamic calendar, it was very kind of you.
Thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani aliyin wa husayin. لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Iruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Puraza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
On Saturday, sit-ins were held in several countries across the world as part of a campaign aimed at denouncing the devastating effects of the sanctions imposed by the US and the European Union on Syria. The initiative, named End the Siege, has been joined by organizations based in a dozen countries, including Jordan, Palestine, Lebanon, the UK, Germany, and Canada. Italy's sit-in was held in Rome in front of the Colosseum, where members of the No War Network and the U.S. Citizens for Peace and Justice denounced how U.S. and EU sanctions have devastated Syria's economy and led to immense human suffering.
Syria is greatly suffering the consequences of the criminal sanctions imposed by our governments. particularly after the earthquake that hit that country over a month ago. Frustration about being excluded from assistance is growing, and I believe it is a scandal that the EU can't act independently, but it has to always submit to the US diktat.
Demonstrators at the sit-in said that the U.S. must leave Syria and stop profiting from Syrian oil and wheat that has exacerbated the poverty in the country. Italy and Syria once maintained a robust relationship, but in 2012, 1 year after the Syrian conflict, Rome joined its Western allies in closing its embassy in Damascus. 7 years later, in 2019, when Italy had an anti-establishment government under the leadership of the Five Star Movement and the Northern League, it appeared that Rome was mulling over normalizing relations with Damascus and reopening its embassy there. However, something went wrong.
It happened that the then government was under enormous pressure, particularly by the United States. Everybody knows that Italy is a country with limited sovereignty. Washington demanded Rome to stop liaising with Damascus the same way it has forced Italy to join the war in Ukraine. One third of Syria is today occupied by American soldiers, and the U.S.'s thefts of Syrian oil, natural gas, and other mineral resources have led to energy shortages.
We're here today because this is the 20th anniversary of the invasion and occupation of Iraq by United States troops. They still have a NATO contingent. 1,000 Italian troops are leading the contingent to rob the oil from northeast Iraq, impoverish the Iraqis, and send the oil to Turkey, Israel, and clients of the United States.
The February 6th earthquake has further worsened the already deteriorating economy and humanitarian situation in Syria. According to UN sources, even before the earthquake tragedy, 70% of the population needed humanitarian assistance due to the war in the country and the US-EU sanctions. Max Civili, Rome.
Syrian President Bashar al-Assad received heads of Arab political parties who arrived in Damascus to hold an emergency meeting of the General Conference of Arab Parties. Assad said there is currently an opportunity for political parties to take action in resisting the siege imposed on the countries they represent, underlining the importance of dialogue in expanding the conference to include various political movements and forces. Head of the conference, Qasem Saleh, expressed solidarity with Syrians affected by the earthquakes. Members of the delegation called for ending the occupation of Syrian lands, lifting the U.S. economic siege, and activating joint Arab action.
We can relay to President Assad our stances and listen to his advices for activating joint Arab action and the role of youth. We are betting on the youth at this stage for finding creative solutions for political, economic, and social challenges.
Representatives of parties then held the 63rd emergency meeting of the General Conference of Arab Parties. They underlined the importance of respecting Syria's sovereignty and unity and rejected unilateral economic sanctions on Syria. They asserted that resistance blocked the implementation of a colonialist plot in the region that aimed at eliminating the Palestinian cause and defeating Syria.
We unconditionally stand with Syrian people, army and leadership, which paid a heavy price to defend just Arab causes. Syria is the source of our history and civilizations. Arab states should return to Syria.
What happens in Syria affects Lebanon and vice versa. We entered into Syria at a particular time in support of its leadership, army, and people. We came to Syria to defend Lebanon. If Syria had collapsed, the whole region would have collapsed. Even Iran's support to Syria was aimed at defending Iran because Syria was the first defense line of all resistance forces in the region.
Participants rejected all forms of normalization with Israel. They welcomed the restoration of diplomatic relations between Iran and Saudi Arabia, underlining it would greatly contribute to solving regional problems. The conference is being held at a time Syrians are extremely suffering from the repercussions of a foreign-backed conflict, unilateral sanctions, and most recently, the devastating earthquake. It's a wake-up call to the international community to take urgent actions and help resolve Syria's dilemmas. Hamad Ali, Damascus. ¶¶
the combined joint drill of Iran, China, and Russia in the north of Oman Sea ended with a parade of participating vessels in front of the Iranian Jamaran destroyer.
We have successfully wrapped up the final day of the joint exercise. On the last day, we practiced rescuing a ship hijacked by pirates and extinguished the fire of a damaged ship. These important exercises were aimed at improving security in the northern part of the Indian Ocean, as well as countering maritime piracy and terrorism. We have managed to achieve all predetermined goals of the drill. Our main goal is to attract the collective participation of friendly and aligned countries in this region.
On the final day of the 2023 Maritime Security Belt exercise, with the presence of the naval forces of Iran, China, and Russia, the maritime and aerial units of the three countries carried out fire extinguishing operations. They also conducted rescue and relief operations of the injured, as well as towing a damaged ship to a port. In another exercise, special operations teams of Iran, China, and Russia practiced freeing a trade vessel that had been hypothetically hijacked by pirates in international waters. In this part of the exercise, arresting the pirates, countering the acts of sabotage by pirates to delay rescue operation, and also treating the injured were successfully conducted.
Our goal from conducting this exercise was cooperation based on mutual respect. We believe powerful countries like Iran, China, and Russia can play an important role in helping the global economy and security.
The 2023 Maritime Security Belt Joint Exercise is the fourth joint naval exercise of Iran, Russia, and China in recent years. Kazakhstan and Pakistan were also present as observers in this year's exercise. Admiral Irani said the naval units of these countries will participate in 2024 joint exercise.
The exercises are the latest in the joint drills by Iran, China, and Russia. Iran says all regional countries are most welcome to take part in the next year drills because they are the ones that are truly in charge of establishing security in the region. Mahdi Abbasian, Konarak.
A scandal involving a Quran desecration at a school in northern England has continued to escalate, despite the resolution of the affair by the local community. With a local mosque and its imam facing a sustained onslaught by right-wingers in the press and government too. Hafez Mohammed Mateen Anwar played a prominent role in easing tensions after news spread across the community of a Quran desecration by students at Kettlethorpe High School in Wakefield. When the news went viral, talk of an alleged death threat and a street protest erupted. Mateen Anwar offered up his mosque to the school and police as a location for a community meeting, an opportunity to clear the air, lay out the facts, and end the matter once and for all.
Now, as far as the local Muslim community are concerned, the situation was dealt with amicably and ended on good terms, with communication playing a big part in making the difference. However, it seems as if the government and also certain right-wing elements within mainstream media appear to be deeply unhappy with the way the story played out.
The meeting successfully resolved the affair, with police, the school head teacher, and one of the students' mothers all in attendance. But instead of celebrating the peaceful conclusion, the British press ran with inflammatory interpretations of the story.
The police acted, recorded it as a non-crime hate incident, and the boys were, the four pupils were suspended. So that shows that we now have de facto blasphemy laws in the UK.
The mosque is now under investigation by a charity watchdog, while Mateen Anwar has been accused of stoking the row. He is also being portrayed as an extremist over Islamic views he's expressed in the past. Press TV spoke with the embattled imam, who blasted the media for peddling misinformation, such as forcing the mother of a student to attend and apologise.
What's the purpose of that meeting? The purpose of that meeting, Robert, was to let the community know that what you're seeing on social media, these lies, they're not true. Out of those students, one of their mothers, in fact, contacted our team on her own accord and explained how she felt, and she in fact herself invited our team to her home address by her own choice. The mother attended the mosque and wanted to sort of relate to the community about how she felt. A number of points were addressed on that meeting, which then led to a really amicable conclusion to this. There's a number of statements I've come across, statements from ministers, statement from the education minister himself, and a number of other political figures, people of media background, who have sadly just followed onto this tangent of lies and continue to progress that further without actually trying to investigate the truth, which is sad. It's really a sad reality that they've not actually investigated what went about. We were successful, Robert, in stopping a demonstration which could have led to further incidents. We were responsible for the reinstation of the children back into the school.
The imam added he's exploring legal options to challenge what he says is an Islamophobic smear campaign against him by right-wing elements who are deeply unhappy with British Muslims successfully standing up for their faith. Robert Carter, Wakefield.
The Israel Apartheid Week has started in Gaza and in many cities around the world. This is aimed at mobilizing grassroots support for the BDS campaign to isolate apartheid Israel in the global community, replicating the resistance movement against the South African apartheid.
Killing machine of apartheid Israel.
The week started with a message of solidarity to the Palestinians of the Gaza Strip from Mandela Mandela, the grandson of the South African leader Nelson Mandela.
We feel your pain and suffering and stand in solidarity with you in the struggle against the injustice and brutality imposed by the apartheid Israeli regime. We salute our heroes and martyrs of Gaza and the ordinary men and women, youth and children, who daily face the brutal killing machine of apartheid Israel. You are not alone.
As part of its events, the BDS chose to screen a movie about horror experienced by a Palestinian young girl during the Nakba. The ethnic cleansing of Palestinians by Zionists in 1948.
Well, I think the way Israel reacted to Farha is very typical of Zionist propaganda. They wanted to suppress the Palestinian voice. They didn't want us to tell our own narrative. And I think the best way of confronting this campaign of hate and racism is by producing more cultural products.
Palestinian institutions play an important role in informing people of the history of Palestine through different mediums in order to build a generation that is capable of reclaiming its rights.
I think that the new generation is passionate about learning the truth and the history of the struggle because during their entire life they have experienced both physical and structural violence perpetrated by the Israeli occupation. They want to know why they suffer, are not allowed to travel, and live in poverty. All this leads them to question the roots of all the problems.
The BDS movement has stressed the need to press ahead with the campaigns against the Israeli apartheid, especially because the regime has intensified its persecution to maintain a system of settler colonial oppression and domination over the Palestinian lives and land.
Recently, we witnessed a growing solidarity with the Palestinian people, especially when the new far-right fascist cabinet took office and Israeli massacre increased in the West Bank. We aspire to reach the international community, not only in the civil global community, to boycott, divest from and sanction Israel.
In Israel Apartheid Week, Palestinians reaffirmed their commitment to resisting occupation, exploitation, oppression, and apartheid, like any other people, by all means permitted under the international law and the UN General Assembly resolution, which includes armed struggle. Al Asi, Gaza.
On Thursday, a delegation of survivors and victims' families from last month's migrant shipwreck at Cutro in southern Italy met with Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni and Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani. On February 26, over 80 people died after a rickety boat with about 200 migrants on board broke up in rough seas. 33 of the victims were minors. At least 16 people are still missing and feared dead. The shipwreck was one of the worst migration disasters in recent European history. No journalists were admitted at Thursday's meeting between Meloni and some of the relatives of the victims and survivors of the Cutro tragedy.
There must be a joint effort with other European countries when it comes to rescuing migrants in danger at sea. If the EU does not take concrete responsibility in governing the migration phenomenon, more tragedies will take place. Let's not forget that this massive influx of migrants began when Gaddafi was overthrown and killed in Libya in 2011.
In the past weeks, Italy has seen an increase in attempts to cross the central Mediterranean in a new shipwreck that took place about 100 miles off the Libyan coast. Between March 11 and 12, at least 30 migrants went missing and are thought to have died. The rescue operation was partially coordinated by the Italian Coast Guard. During a Q&A session in the lower house of parliament on Tuesday, Meloni and her government were accused of failing to offer timely assistance to smugglers' boats in distress and, in more general terms, of not doing enough to try and save people attempting to cross the Mediterranean Sea.
Not only Italy did its part, but it did it in an area outside its jurisdiction. The operation had been initially coordinated by the Libyan authorities.
Once and for all, Libyan authorities are not capable of providing safe and rescue assistance to migrants in line with international standards. The question here is if Italy is doing all it can to save human lives.
Since day one of its mandate, the Giorgia Meloni government has pledged to press ahead with an agenda aimed at stopping what it calls illegal migration. In January, the officials introduced a new code of conduct for humanitarian ships, making it much harder for NGO-run vessels to rescue migrants lost at sea. Lately, Rome has even tried to pass the buck on to others for the current Mediterranean migrant crisis. Earlier this week, the Italian government said the Russian private military company Wagner was behind the recent exponential surge in migrant boats from African coasts. The number of migrants reaching Italy's shores so far this year exceeds 20,000. Max Civili, Rome.
Russian President Vladimir Putin held talks with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in the Kremlin. The head of states of the two countries are in constant contact as relations between Moscow and Damascus are developing in various areas.
Thanks to our joint efforts and the decisive contribution of the Russian armed forces, significant results have been achieved in Syria in the fight against international terrorism. This makes it possible to stabilize the socio-economic and domestic political situation. Unfortunately, the Syrian people faced another very serious problem, a catastrophe, an earthquake. This, of course, exacerbates the situation. As real friends, we are trying to support you. As you know, our units under the Ministry of Emergency Situations also worked here, and representatives of the armed forces stationed in Syria are also contributing to the fight against the consequences of the earthquake.
Meanwhile, Assad expressed support for Russia's special operation in Ukraine and thanked Moscow for its help following the earthquake.
This is my first visit since the beginning of this special operation in Ukraine, and I would like to repeat we fully support your fight against neo-Nazis and old Nazis. I'm talking about the old Nazis, because the West has always received them on the ground and now continues to help them. We support this special operation not because our countries are friends. Our position proceeds from the fact that the world really needs a stabilization now, otherwise it will come to collapse.
This visit has several important components. Syria survived a devastating earthquake with many victims. Syria needs economic help and assistance. Syria has problems with energy prices, which have risen. As an important ally of Russia, it will receive this assistance. The second component is no less important. A meeting of representatives of Iran, Turkey, and Russia at the level of deputy ministers of foreign affairs is to be held in Moscow, where a potential unfreezing of relations between Damascus and Ankara will be discussed. The very fact of such negotiations in Moscow already speaks of a positive trend.
The situation in Syria and bilateral military cooperation were discussed by the defense ministers of the two countries. Sergei Shoigu, in a conversation with his counterpart Ali Mahmoud Abbas, expressed condolences to the Syrian people in connection with the February earthquake and stressed the importance of close contacts, which are aimed at maintaining stability in the Arab country in the field of defense and the fight against terrorism.
The visit by the Syrian president is indicative of strengthening ties between the two countries. The Syrian-Turkish dossier is another important outcome of this visit. The near future will show whether this will lead to the restoration of ties between Syria and Turkey. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
Nowruz is the message of peace and friendship by the Iranians for the whole world. Happy Nowruz!
In Nowruz, stay with IRIB English Radio to get familiar with Iranian traditions. Happy New Iranian Calendar Year. Happy Nowruz. In the limelight.
A new study shows that people in Britain skip meals to cope with soaring costs of food in the country. High inflation and energy bills continue to squeeze incomes in Britain. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT noted, as the cost of living crisis impacts British households, many are cutting down on food while living in cold homes, according to the latest findings from Consumer Insight Tracker. The monthly survey commissioned by the Food Standards Agency, FSA, revealed that 8.1% of households in Britain missed the housing, bill, loan or credit card payment in February. One in seven people, 15%, said they had skipped meals due to rising costs. Just over a quarter, 27%, said they had gone without some foods, up from 21% in November. Meanwhile, 9% had prioritized meals for other family members above themselves, and 4% had used a food bank. Nearly 60% of households reported making at least one adjustment to cover essential spending such as utility bills, housing costs, groceries, school supplies, and medicines in the last month. According to the report, adjustments include cutting back on essentials, dipping into savings, selling possessions, and borrowing. Consumers have also been looking for ways to save on their energy bills, with 7 out of 10, 72%, saying they have turned down the heating due to spiraling costs, while 39% having used less hot water and 19% having had fewer cooked meals. The report said, while the majority of consumers have used the heating less due to price rises, this behavior will be more extreme in some households than others. While some say they may be able to save money on heating while still keeping their house sufficiently warm, others will not. 3 in 10, 29% of those who reportedly reduced their heating said they have often or always felt in physical discomfort this winter as a result. A further 4 in 10, 41%, noted they have sometimes felt physical discomfort, while 29% have rarely or never felt that way. Data suggests that consumer confidence has recovered but remains low, with confidence in current household finances dropping slightly in February. 38% of consumers describe their financial situation as good, and nearly a quarter, 24%, as poor. Grocery prices in the UK have surged to a new record of 17.1% in the 4 weeks of February, according to the latest figures released by market researcher Kantar recently. Milk, eggs and margarine are showing the fastest price growth, data shows. The report says food inflation in Britain is at its highest since the firm started tracking the figures in 2008, adding £811 to the typical annual shopping bill and forcing UK households to change their consumption habits. This February marks a full year since monthly grocery inflation climbed above 4%. This is having a big impact on people's lives. The head of retail and consumer insight at Kantar, Fraser McKevitt, said. The head of retail and consumer insight at Kantar, Fraser McKevitt, added, "Surging food prices were the second most important financial issue for the public in Britain after energy costs," adding that one in four shoppers in Britain were now struggling financially. Also, according to a British outlet study, some essentials have almost doubled in price over the past 2 years. For example, a 500-gram bag of pasta that cost £50 2 years ago is now priced at £95. UK families face an even tighter squeeze on their finances this year as the government cuts back support on household energy bills, while mortgage rates continue to rise, worsening the cost of living crisis. Although overall inflation in the UK fell to 10.1% in January from its highest levels in more than 40 years, food prices continue to rise, forcing shoppers to turn to discounters, The Economist said.
Start. Movement. Speed. Living Hope.
Toward the Peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. This is IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the beautiful youth station as always. I am Pita.
And I am Asma.
At your service. So, my dear sister, today we're going to go through a topic which I think you don't like. How old are you?
I'm still young.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. 18.
I'm included in your party.
Yeah. You know, I think age and most of the issues matters, you know. Right. Age is something that is really important. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're young, you have a lot of time. Yeah. And
I used to say that no, age doesn't matter. But then after 30, I figured it out. Yes, it does matter.
It does matter. I think in most of the things, especially your personality. And
In everything.
In
your passions, in the way you make decisions, and your perspectives and everything.
Yeah, so age matters, and actually it can be a benefit when you're young.
Yeah.
Did you use this benefit?
Now that's difficult to answer.
Yeah, it is.
You know? Well, I, to myself, I guess, yes, I did. But as a person who is so thinking about perfection, as a perfectionist, I would say, no, I haven't done the most of my youth.
Yeah.
If it is to be called between the age of 20 and 30.
30.
Because, you know, I usually think that I could have done more, but I didn't.
But you didn't.
Yeah.
But it's not like that, you know that. You know, sometimes you forget the obstacles, you forget the situation
exactly,
you had
yeah.
in the past.
When things and are past, you
yeah,
think that everything,
everything
could have been
fine.
Different.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could do that, but you didn't because you were lazy. But it's not mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
There were other obstacles too.
Of course.
But me, myself, I can't say I'm young. I'm 19 years old, so I have a lot of time. Maybe, I don't know, maybe
yes.
I will die tomorrow.
No.
It can happen. But... I don't know, how should I use this time? Sometimes it's scary to know that you have an opportunity and
yeah.
you have to use it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And this knowledge will put a pressure on you, put a special responsibility on you that
yeah.
you have to do something with this
exactly.
age. You have to do something with the time you have.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a blessing. At the same time, this is suffering and torture for me.
Yeah, it is. Of course, it's more suffering
yeah.
than a blessing, I guess.
It is.
But still, the sense that you have in yourself that I have to make the most out of this and I have to find a way to make it so fruitful is a blessing, I guess.
It is, but the problem is that I just think like that. I don't do anything. You know, I want to do many things, but time exactly flies, you know.
Yeah.
You can understand how mm-hmm. the night comes, and after the night, the day, and the nights and
yeah.
days come.
I told you, you know,
yeah.
even if you do your best, at the end of the day,
this
when your time comes to an end, when your time is just up, you will say, I did nothing. I could have done more.
Yeah.
But still, we really could make the most of our youth. You know, there are many things we could consider as a life-changing format of living, a style of living, that we could add them to our life in order to change our personality totally.
Yeah.
Our characteristics, everything about us.
Totally.
Yeah, totally.
So let's give this
exactly.
Yeah, term, then we're going to come back and talk about it. Totally. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is You Station. And my dear sister told me something that I think I have some disagreement with. Totally.
I love disagreements. Okay.
Okay.
What
okay,
was
so
that?
Let's argue. You know, I think we cannot change our personality that is made, I don't know, during a long time. For example, I'm 19 years old, okay? And in these 19 years, I made something that I cannot
mm-hmm.
change totally.
Yeah.
So if you accept this...
Well, even a marble can change. So you are a human being. You're not a marble. You're not a stone. You can change it.
I
agree,
that.
You know, with the part that you say after so long of a time.
Yeah.
You create something.
Some habits.
It becomes like what we call it as habit formation. These
yeah.
things are very hard to be taken away. But I guess... If you're sensible, if you're logical, if you think too much about yourself, I mean yourself as in developing yourself, not being so
yeah.
pompous and thinking all the time of your own self and all. If you think of your prosperity as in improving your soul, then I guess you could change yourself. There are too many ways for you to change yourself.
For example... Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you have seen that in your life or not, but I'm actually sure everyone has. Because for a certain time,
yeah.
maybe, we have been so, I don't know, sometimes you're so passionate about something,
mm-hmm.
but then after a certain time, you teach yourself that you should control your emotions.
Yeah.
Right?
I had this experience.
So you do this. And maybe sometimes... You are a kind of a person who uses too much of imagination. Maybe you have too much of hallucinations in your brain. You're not realistic enough to understand the truth. Then you teach yourself that you have to be realistic.
Yeah.
Right? So all these things happen. I guess human beings are so valuable because they have a brain and they have a heart, and every moment is a new chance for them that they can make use of it and change it all.
And I want to add something to whatever you told up to here, which was really beautiful. And I wish, if there was a way that dear listeners could share their opinions with
of
us.
Of course,
it's amazing,
yeah.
You know, at
so
the moment,
lovely.
You know.
Mm. But
online.
They can think about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you can think about all these things that we're
talking
about.
Think about what if there has been anything that you have changed in yourself, and right now you're so proud of it.
Yeah, and sometimes we think that, we are wasting our time when we think with mm-hmm. ourselves. I don't know, but it's not like that. It's life. You have to spend time in those sort of things to make use of your age.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes
exactly.
we think, like, no, I'm wasting it. No, it's mm-hmm. not wasted time.
There was a phase in my life that I used to think that life entirely is a waste of time. But then I was a child back in time. Yeah. Then as I grew older, I understood that every moment you spend, every single thought that crosses your mind, every single aid you offer to other people, every single word you spread everywhere, talk to your friends in a, I don't know, smiley face. Every single thing you do has got a value.
Yes.
Even if it is very little, it is going to be valuable.
This is a nice point of view. You know?
Yeah, because all of these little things are going to be counted.
You know, and also there is another point of view that I try to maintain my life to, I don't know, in order to make use of my time. It's like everything that you can think of, you can do.
Exactly.
You know, your imagination is the reality in the future. You can make it real. I'm not talking about everything, but most of the things can be possible.
Exactly. I do believe in that too, because if it was really something impossible, it would have never came to your brain.
It may be far-fetched, but it's not impossible.
Maybe it's very difficult. But it might be achievable. Well, of course, we're not talking about hallucinations. Let's just make a differentiation between these two things.
Yeah.
Because some people pin all their hopes into a mirage, and then when they get there and they see nothing, they would get depressed. So let's just make a difference between these two things.
I think these people are too ambitious to be successful in their lives. You know, another thing is achieving somewhere. You have to enjoy the road.
Yeah. Now, let me just disagree, because sometimes, as I just told you, it's hallucinations. Then you're going to end up as a delusional person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Ambition is good, okay?
No.
But to some excess, right? Some thoughts that you have in your brain do not have the capacity of coming into reality.
I know what you mean. The thing I'm just telling you is that you have to enjoy this ambition. You have to enjoy everything.
Of course.
And you shouldn't have just looking for this perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to enjoy the moment.
Yeah, and you shouldn't forget that there's a break.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me. So let's go for a short break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
So, Sister Asma, the reminder. Don't you want to remind me to go for a break?
You know, I remind you of welcome back to your listeners.
Yeah. So, we were talking about
Youth and
age, time.
Yeah,
youth,
and their age.
And
how to make the most of their time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let's go for the obstacles. You know, sometimes you, as a youth, you just want to experience everything. As an individual, you're like, okay, I'm going to experience that. It doesn't matter that you experience it too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm another person. I have another abilities, another personality, another individuality. So I'm going to have another consequence. And even if I don't, I will do that. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And after a long time, when you look back at the things you did, you're like, why did I do that? Why didn't I listen to that person? What do you think? Do we have to experience it all ourselves? Or no? Well, the elderly people the
answer
have the value.
Pretty much logically is, of course, no. You don't have to go all that way.
But you know, one of the not that logical.
You know, one of the goodness of reading too much of books and stories and watching movies is that you're going to be living the life of thousands and thousands of people.
Nice.
See, you can never be many people at the same time. But if you read a lot, but if you go for too much of experiences that other people have been through, then you are going to have that blessing of living in the place of many people.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm one of those people who says, I want to experience everything myself. Because when you tell me something, I don't like it. I want to experience it myself. But then as you grow older, this concept of time becomes something so precious to you that you don't want to waste it, really. Therefore, you just go for the advices from other people, people who you trust them, whom you just, when you look at their achievements, or you know what, I don't make achievement as a criteria to pick the right people, because sometimes there are some people who do not have any achievements or accomplishments, but they're so knowledgeable. And they have worked so much on themselves.
I know.
So I would say that I would go for them. I would listen to them. And then all the things they give to me as advice, of course, it is not called advice at the moment when they're talking to you. That's why you accept them with your heart.
I understand you.
As if you have lived them.
I have the same experience when I read novels, and especially one thing which really touches my heart is Holy Quran.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
When I read Holy Quran, I'm like, okay, I know I cannot understand the whole concept of this book because it's so much higher than my level, but there is a feeling of connection and bond with that book. And also, there is another thing. I think as youth, I myself have to be so clear with myself. This transparency will help you to find yourself.
Exactly.
Your
have a
way.
Plan for your future.
Exactly.
Do not go so haphazardly as you don't have a plan for your tomorrow or next week or the next month. Just leave nervously and put your nose where it doesn't belong. Don't do
but,
that.
You know,
know,
I think at the first steps, it feels like you're free. You are, I don't know, so revealed from all the tensions when you don't have any plan or transparency with yourself. But in a long-term period of time, you will feel like, no, I need something. I think because this is the nature of human beings.
Exactly.
We need a goal. We need a way.
And again, I would say, just as you mentioned, the Holy Book of Quran, I would say that this connection and link to Allah is something that always is going to help you, because just as you are trying to make sense of your age, sometimes you might cross that road of depression, because then you might go through those stories that, you know, many people talk, many schools of thought have talked about it, that emptiness of life or whatever, things like that, that you can see it everywhere right now in social media. You hear a lot of these things in the youth specifically who are living in different sides of the world. But the thing which is very important is to have that connection from the very early age.
I have to tell you that it was all the time we had.
Unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately.
We could talk more and more about
that.
But so, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have.
Thank you, dear listeners, and you, my dear sister, to be here with me. And I wish you for well, and I leave you in a warm embrace of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB.